Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is have fun with your kids. Stop being a sad sap. Stop being a holy Joe. Give me a break. Have some fun with those kids. Hey, man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should say?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
That's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out burger. I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them
If it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what it's called.
Okay. So you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Gallant music here.
That really is what it is.
Right. It's happening right now.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about family fun.
Yeah, family fun. That's a ministry idea.
That, maybe. We're going to make it into one.
We're going to have a good time in this episode.
It's going to be awesome. So we have been talking before this episode, just kind of preparation. It's important for your family to have fun together.
Yeah.
And there's lots of reasons we can back it up. We're going to try to make some good arguments on why, you know, it's important to have family fun.
Yeah, argument number one, it's no fun to have kids if you don't have fun with your kids. Like, why go through the pain
sure.
and the expense of having children if you can't enjoy your children? There's so much fun right. to have as a family.
Now, I know what you're saying out there, but Drew and Josh, listen, I have infants in the household.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fun is getting them in bed so I can then get in bed and fall asleep. I get it. Okay. So my stage right now, I have an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Correct.
So my wife and I's definition of fun honestly happens when they're all in bed. And we're just like, can we just like sit and breathe without anybody screaming or throwing things at us or lay on the couch without somebody sitting on top of us?
And you've got a solid, 6 hours of fun before the first one gets up.
At least if that. So you can do it. We have faith in you, okay? So no matter what stage of life and parenting you're at, or maybe you're not in parenting anymore and you had an empty nest and it's just you and the wife, you can still have family fun together.
Family fun. That's the big idea.
And we have split this up into three different kind of segments, and we're going to kind of define some different ideas about each one. So big trips,
special occasions,
and family day. So let's talk about big trips first.
Yeah. Big trips. Look, one of the things first and foremost you've got to plan out your schedule. And as you plan out your year, the first thing you need to put in your calendar is your family vacation. You say, oh man, I just don't have time.
I don't have money.
Yeah, man, you don't have time. You don't have money. But the fact is you just put new flaps on your truck. And who am I talking to? Somebody in Texas? Maybe I am talking
got
to you
my
in Texas.
Mud flaps in my room.
Look, prioritize your family trip. Have a family vacation. Back in the day when we had very, very little, we're driving down to San Diego and we're going to spend some time at Balboa Park and we're going to see the animals in the San Diego Zoo. You can do this. I remember when I was a kid and my parents had nothing. Poor church planters. You want to talk about poor church planters? I will tell you stories of eating out of dumpsters. And those who have listened for a long time know that's actually true.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we'll talk about that again sometime. But I'm telling you, my parents made it a priority as church planters to make sure there was an annual family trip. And a lot of that was camping. a lot of that was out in the wilderness. A lot of that was foraging in the woods. No, a lot of that was very inexpensive, but you can take a family trip. But here's what you have to do. Before you ever get to it, you have to decide where it goes in the schedule. Even if you don't have another preacher on staff, even if you have to have a friend come in or some guy from the other side of town come in and preach, plan the family trip, take the family trip, and start budgeting a little bit of money every single month toward that family trip. And I'm telling you, those family trips can be an anchor for fun for your family.
Yeah, I think about constantly my wife is talking about how growing up from the time she was born until honestly until she was out of the house, they would always take an annual trip with their family. They didn't have much money, right? They didn't spend, money in a high-end hotel or whatever, but they still remember all the memories that they made on that family trip every single year and how foundational and formative it was for her to take those. And now we, you know, as a family, are trying to do that as well. And, I'm the spender of the family. So I try to, make it bigger than or, better than last year or whatever. But often it's just in those moments that you look up with the kids and start laughing as a family together. That's what you remember the most.
Yeah, we did the same thing back probably about 13 years ago. Heather and I sat down with our phones and we started charting out, okay, we only have so many years left with our children. We looked at Jonathan and I believe it was 12 years left before he would go to college, 8 years, 9 years, whatever it was. And we began to say, man, now you do this. Some of you need to pause it right now and you need to look and say, okay, my oldest child, how many summers do I have left? And you're going to be shocked. Wait a minute, what? I have 6, I have 7, I have 4 summers left with my child. So the question is, what are you going to do with those summers? What are you going to do? Start scheduling it out. Man, we want to take a road trip through the Midwest and we want to see all these cities. Man, we're going to go down to the South. We're going to see down South. Man, we're going to go out to California and begin planning it out right now. And again, you say, well, we don't have a lot of budget for that. I believe you can create budget. I remember my father and mother back in the day, my dad used to plan out going to BBF meetings. This would have been back in the late 80s. And they would have very, very little, but he'd plan out going to a BBF meeting twice a year down in Southern California. And in doing so, he was able to expense the trip, the gas, the hotel, and we would camp out actually, the camping site. We would go one day to the BBF meeting, and then the next day we would go to Disneyland. The only thing he didn't expense, of course, was the Disneyland tickets. And we went every single year, even when we didn't have much, because he got creative about how to do just that. So you do the same thing when it comes to a list of family things that you want to accomplish, right?
Yeah, so on my phone right now, I sat down. This is honestly, we talk about a lot about this, but just getting alone with yourself and God and praying. I went up to a mountain one day and I said, these are the things I want to do before the kids are out of the house. And I made a list and I'll share a few of them on there because some of them are super personal. But things like Zion National Park is really close, right? Antelope Canyon, Horseshoe Bend. I have some really big ones on here. So like I would love to backpack the entire Appalachian Trail with my kids.
Oh. It's like a 20-day trip, isn't it?
I know. And I would love to hike Machu Picchu.
Oh, yes. Okay,
now,
so that's
I have
ours.
Some physical conditioning before I go in there. But things like I'd love to go have fish and chips in England.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to go have fresh sushi in Japan with one of the kids.
Oh.
So stuff like that are just awesome ideas that I'm thinking even now, as you said, that I have 10 summers left of Grace before she's out of the house. And that is so short amount of time.
It is.
It's really important to be intentional with the time we have left.
So here we are. We're sitting here thinking to ourselves, okay, I want to have sushi with my daughter in Japan before she's gone. Okay, well, which summer?
Yeah.
Like, what summer are you going to... And if you're going to go there, one of my wife's big, big plans before Jonathan got out was to take him to Great Britain and across the Channel and to see the beaches of Normandy. It's one of his all-time biggest dreams. So the question is, well, when was that going to happen? Did we schedule it? Actually, we did. For what year? Well, for COVID year. So it didn't happen. So we have to do it the next year. But the point is, it is not likely to happen if you don't plan for it to happen. It's emphasizing fun. Now, I want to stop here before we move on from these trips and just say this. You might be thinking, this is irrelevant. I want to talk about ministry ideas. I want to talk about how I can have assimilate better and how I can make sure that our offerings are up. I'm telling you, your number one priority in ministry is your family.
Mm.
And one of the biggest mistakes Christian ministers make, and ministry families and teams and churches make is they don't prioritize their family. And when they say prioritize their family, what they think that means is grabbing a Bible and every day giving a 1 hour devotion. Stop it. No. What it means is make your family a fun place to be. Let them have fun. Fun. I'm telling you, you ask any single Christian minister right now that grew up in a Christian home, and you ask them if they grew up in a good family, you ask them, what's the best thing that you love about that family? I'm telling you, you ask it. Most of them are going to say, man, our family was a lot of spirituality. No, they're going to say, our family was a lot of fun. It's almost like a side idea that they were also followers of Jesus. Prioritize fun.
Well, it's a really great point about the fact that your ministry is your family. Mm. And you think about like, well, that's not true. Like I can do ministry without my family. Try. And I think the biggest thing that we can do as ministers or people who are trying to serve Christ is to have a strong family unit. And a healthy family unit is different from just, you know, having a family. And at the end of the day, we're all leading that. So that's a great point.
This goes back, I mean, this is biblical. It goes back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't have a wife, well, I mean, then you're not going to treat your wife poorly. And if you don't have children, well, you're not going to treat your children poorly. But if you do, Paul's pretty clear on this when it comes to the requirements of a bishop. You have to have your family in order. You have to have a family unit that makes sense. Because if you cannot control, if you cannot lead your family, you will not be able to help lead the family of God.
Yeah.
So family vacation, family trip, plan it out, have a great time, great memories, and put the phone down. And who cares what happens to your local church? Who cares what happens to your church plant? Yeah. Spend time with those kiddos.
I do feel led to say this. I mean, this is talking about the family too, but this is also talking about the marriage relationship. I can't remember where I heard this. It was probably at a marriage conference somewhere. But and again, this seems the most impossible task right now for me in the season of life that I'm in with parenting. But they said it's really important to have weekly dates. Make sure that you and the wife get away and have weekly dates. Have monthly getaways. In other words, try to have a, you know, overnight stay somewhere, right? Or to try to have, you know, go on a trip where it's just the two of you. And then have yearly retreats. Mm-hmm. So it's where you're away for 3 or 4 or 5 days. And, you know, that seems like an impossible task for you, for me right now. You know, even we have great babysitters that we trust and we love them. There's just a line that we're like, I don't know about overnight, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just feel led to say that because we're talking about big trips and that kind of stuff. But even in your marriage, I think that's really important.
It's really seasonal too. I mean, giving yourself a break without necessarily always excusing yourself. What I mean by that is sometimes you're like, man, I wasn't able to do that. I get it. You got a baby in the other room screaming. That's totally understandable. But don't completely excuse it as if it's not important now. And to be able to say, okay, what can we do to make sure that we have the time for us and the time for our children that is properly needed?
Yeah.
It's the same thing the Bible talks about, disciplining your children when they're young. Spending time with your children when they're young invests in them a spirit of fun that will make them want to spend time with you when you're older. And so create that atmosphere of fun in your home through family trips.
All right, big trips.
Yeah,
next up. Special occasions.
Special occasions like what?
Birthdays, anniversaries, yeah. Valentine's Day.
The moments like our little daughter becomes a woman or our young man becomes a man. Suddenly you're beginning to have those moments, those special occasions. Are you preparing for those special occasions? How do you celebrate those special occasions?
To be honest, this is one of the things that my wife and I actually were very transparent. This is what we're struggling with right now.
Yeah.
I think we do a pretty good job having some really good big trips. I think we do a pretty good job having family day once a week. But the special occasions we're a little weak on. So I'm going to borrow from your experience on this one. And I have things that I think would be a great idea, but just practically doing it, yeah, so we fall short.
One of the things we've learned is not every birthday can be a blowout. It's unreasonable, especially some of my brothers out there that have like 6 and 7 and 8 kids. And you're like, oh my word, there's no way possible. Of course not. I mean, you can't have a giant blowout, but the fact that there's a recognition of the day is big. What we have found that works really well for our family is that there are specific years that big things happen. For example, we would have a big party at the age of five where they could have all their friends over. And it's the traditional kid's birthday party where you've got tons and tons and tons of people over, and you've got this big, you know, tons of people, maybe 12 or 20 of your kids' friends. And that's when you get the bounce house. And that's where, and so you got little ones be like, it's my birthday next. And you're like, when you're five, you know, this is how it works. Yeah. And then six, seven, and eight, those goes by. And what we would do at age 10, we'd have a giant sleepover. For those who do sleepovers, not everybody does. We'd have a giant sleepover. We had a policy where our kids would not sleep over at other people's home. We had a big double, I forget what the word is whenever you have a double standard. Double standard. We had a big double standard. We have kids come sleep over at our home. We would not let our kids sleep over at other people's homes. Yeah. But we have a big sleepover. It's your 10th birthday, and you can have all the kids over that you want to have come over. And then we would do that at 5 and at 10 and at 16. And those were the big occasions for us. We would also do big occasions when it came to becoming a woman or becoming a man. And those would have to do with the talks. Have we ever had that episode here where we talk about having the talk?
I don't think we've gone into detail about it, no.
Oh, man, we're going to have to do that.
I have thought many occasions with my child, though. I'm like, especially my boys, because they're getting older. And I'm like, it might not be a bad idea, like when they be 12 or 13, just to drop them in the middle of nowhere and see if they can survive. Like, it might not be that bad of an idea.
Special occasion. Yeah, you could. You could put them out at Ironwood because that's sure. In the middle of nowhere for those who know that Christian camp out in California.
Yeah.
Just put them out there, man. Yeah. Let them deal with them for a while.
But I think the point here is to make sure you recognize maybe not only what you think is a special occasion, but also is what is a special occasion to your kids.
Yeah.
Or your family for that matter. It might not be that big of a deal to celebrate your 21st anniversary with your wife. Not a big blowout, but the 25th, you might want to go all out for that.
Yeah, you might want to head out to Hawaii, do something big out there. But so these things are, I do want to just touch on that becoming a man, becoming a woman stuff. In our society, we do not have necessarily a moment in our culture to identify manhood or identify womanhood. That doesn't mean, because culturally we don't, doesn't mean that you should not, right? So if you're not Jewish, you don't have a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. If you're not Native American, you don't have that moment where culturally the whole clan comes out or the whole tribe comes out and recognizes this boy has become a man. But what do you do to signify manhood? What do you do to signify womanhood to your children? What conversations do you have? What have you established? What trip do you take, just you and them? What does that conversation look like? What are you trying to get across? What are those conversations? And we're going to do an episode coming up. We'll do an episode on what I've done with my son on the conversations, and what Heather does with her girls when it comes to those conversations, and marking those special occasions. And it can be so much fun. Yeah. And realizing that time is short. Have a good time.
Yeah. I'm a big one for this. And again, like, I think everybody has a good phone in their pocket nowadays that has a nice camera, but like, and I go out with all media stuff, right? So like, I make huge videos and pictures and that kind of stuff, so they will remember those special occasions. And the reason I do that is because my wife and I were discussing recently, we're like, I don't really remember specifics of growing up. Like, I don't remember a big birthday. And it's not because I know my parents had them. I know we went on trips. I know we had celebrated birthdays and all this kind of stuff, but I don't remember them because I probably just my long-term memory might be gone about it. So I want to make sure I make a special emphasis, specifically with trying to capture the moments with them so they can preserve them going backwards. I want to be the dad that brings their kids over when they're 25 and be like, Dad, are we going to watch another home video? Yeah, we're going to watch another home video.
Yep, that's exactly what we're going to do. Sit down.
Yeah.
You know, it's already started with us. So we have been doing this for a while, and thank God for Apple, because now our Apple TV has these things naturally on them, and we'll pull it up and... like, we did this probably about 3 or 4 months ago, and we're getting very nostalgic because Jonathan just took off for college. And so this last year, we've been taking a lot of evenings, and instead of just sitting there and watching The Middle, which is our family's favorite show, what we'll do is we'll pull up one of those old ones, and we'll walk through a whole year, and the music will play, and we'll laugh at old videos, and we'll laugh at old photographs, and be like, look at that, that's great. And so those kind of things are huge. Sit down with your kids. Nobody doesn't like looking at photographs and videos of themselves growing up. And I'm telling you, you've got a 15-year-old out there. You've got all those photographs. Put them on your TV and walk through those photographs with them and those videos, and the kids will laugh at each other. It's a great, great, fun family event. You do the same thing, don't you?
I do. So especially when we had our first kid, there was about three and a half year gap between her first and second. She would literally call the videos I made by her own name. and to try to, you know, say like she was almost like she was the star of her own show for a while. When she got, you know, her first sister and her first brother, then her second brother, it's a little bit less, you know, just about her now. But she loves to still watch them. It's one of their, you know, even more than Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, more than Disney Plus, they like watching videos of themselves from past trips and stuff. So big trips, special occasions, and last but not least, we have Family Day.
Family Day, which needs to begin promptly at 7 a.m., where you raise the children up, sit them down, and make sure that they have their bowl of oatmeal and their Bible, and make sure you do a Bible study, because family devotions, a deep family devotions, the family devotion, the family altar is the cornerstone.
Put some classical music on the background.
Put some Bach.
For a second there, I thought you were serious. I'm like, look, your family day maybe just because you get up early. I'm like, that family day to me is like 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock. I don't know.
I'm mocking those who think to themselves, I can't have a good family day because my children won't pay attention in devotions. Look, have family devotions. Try to do that, you know, occasionally once every couple of years. But don't stop stressing yourself out because your children are not connecting. I remember sitting there mercilessly teasing my father when I was a teenager, as he tried to do family devotions with us. And my brother and I would just make fun and tease, and he would get so flustered. It happens to this day, actually. Now it's all the grandchildren, and they're jumping around and trying to, and now we're at Christmas trying to do family devotions, a big family. And it just is a mess. And if you're like, our family devotion is a mess, we're never going to be fine. I'm telling you, more important, and that's fine. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead and see how my family turns out, whatever. More important than your family devotions, your family altar, and we covered Proverbs chapter 10 today, is your family day fun? Are you having a good time? Are they looking back on their childhood saying, you know, I don't know about everything, but I'll tell you, my dad was fun. My mom was fun. We had such a fun family. It's really important. I remember, here's why this is hard for some, especially if you're a first generation Christian or if you're a second generation Christian that did not come from a balanced, fun family. Okay, here's the concern. You're like, I want our family to be holy, holy. The problem is
separate from the world, yeah.
Yeah,
shielded, guarded.
Yeah, you distinguish unfairly holy from fun. You think that holy is one thing and fun is another, and I'm saying that they're both. You can be completely holy and fun. In fact, I don't know that you can be fun with you can be holy without being fun. Let me explain. I deal with this with a lot of first generation Christians here in Las Vegas. The first thing they realize as parents is, "Oh my word, our society is pretty disgusting." And you're like, "Yes, it is. We live in Corinth. It's really bad." And they're like, "We need to protect our children from this wicked society." Agreed. Yes, you do. We need to. And the Christian school and homeschool, and our children never meet anybody except for the pastor and his kids, and not even all of them. And they start, rightfully so, separating their children from everything. That is good. That's a good thing at first. And so you're trying to protect them from the corruption of this world. The problem is, we can separate them so much from all of these things that we don't allow them to experience the fun that our society actually does have. Our society has fun? Have you ever been with a Christian family that is watching a football game, but they mute all the commercials? Like, we don't want to allow our children to know there is beer. Okay, now if that's what you're doing, you know, God bless you. Maybe your children will never see a beer. Look, let me just be blunt. Instead of protecting or shielding your children from seeing something like that, how about you point it out and say, hey, let's pause this commercial. Let's talk about that. You see that? Boy, you see that? That can really be dangerous for a lot of people. And that, you know, let me tell you a story. And use that. I was just recently talking with one of the first generation Christians in our church, saved, baptized, discipled here, serve in our deacon's ministry. Amazing, amazing people. If you knew them, you'd love them. We were out at lunch having a deacon meeting, and they said to me, Pastor, we have some questions about our kids now that they're getting older. And it's about entertainment. And I said to him, yeah, sure, what's up? Pastor, you sometimes reference movies and like things like Marvel movies in your sermons. And, you know, that's really uncomfortable for us because, you know, we tell our kids they're not allowed to watch Marvel movies. Now, we're talking about kids that are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And I looked at him. Now, here's the temptation, Pastor. Listen to me. Listen to me. Now, you could write me off. I'm a heretic, whatever. But those of you who are listening, listen to me. The temptation is to look at that deacon or that person in the church and get really insecure and think to yourself, oh, no, they're going to be offended. Oh, no, what I've got? I'm more holy than you. I've got to show that I'm more holy. Okay, I'm going to get rid of Marvel movies. Stop it. Stop it. Look at me. Listen. They said, you know, they're really uncomfortable for us because we told them, you know, we don't watch Marvel movies. Those are worldly. And these are people who got saved and baptized or discipled at our church. Really is this idea? And so I said, so what do you do for fun? I'm like, well, that's kind of our question. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I said, your 12-year-old hasn't seen a Marvel movie? What? Sure. What? Now, movies may not be your thing, but if it's baseball and you're not letting them go to a baseball game or Marvel, whatever, listen to me. So this is what I told him. I said, guys, stop it. You guys have protected your family. That's awesome. Now you need to have fun with your family. Otherwise, what's going to happen is 6 years are going to go by and your kid's going to be looking and saying, I don't know what Black Panther is. I don't know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are. You need to have some fun with your children, lest your children think that all Christians are as boring as you. You got to stop it. And they said, well, what happens when you see something bad on it? I said, great question. This is what you do. You stop the movie, you point it out and say, you see that right there? That's a word that we don't use. Mm. See, stop it right there. You see right there? You see what happened right there? Boy, that's why he's the hero, because he protected that woman. Oh, you see what happened right there? That's what happened. That's a person's a bad guy. I know I've told this story before, but my parents demonstrated this. We were watching Little Mermaid back in 1989. You know, that was back when all the Southern Baptists were boycotting Disney, and because Disney was evil, and some Christians wouldn't watch it because she was wearing a bra. It was very inappropriate. So we're watching Little Mermaid because my parents were bad parents, I guess. And as we were watching Little Mermaid, my father stopped the movie. I'll never forget this. And he said, kids, do you see what happened right there? Ariel had just signed a contract and had sold over her father's soul because of her disobedience, and her father became a weed in the garden, if you remember the story.
Yeah.
My father stopped the story and said, do you see what her disobedience cost? Her disobedience to her father cost the entire kingdom and turned her father into a weed. We don't want to do that, do we? And we're all like, oh, no. What did he do? He pointed out what was a great story moment and brought home a Christian principle. So I'm talking to this wonderful family in our church, and I said, hey, that's what you've got to do. Don't shield them from those things at a certain age. Let them see those things and then point out what is right, what is wrong, and teach your children in the midst of all of these things.
Mm. Yeah, this happened recently with my kiddos. We started listening to a soundtrack from a really popular musical, and we played these three songs from the musical because it's hilarious. And on the third song, the very end of the song, they take the Lord's name in vain. Mm. And eventually, just being desensitized to it, we skipped right past it, right? And it's not a big deal. But eventually your kids, man, at that age, they memorize everything so quickly.
Mm.
And probably the third time we're through listening to the same three songs, my wife and I was like, we probably shouldn't play this last one, because it literally takes the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
So, of course, what do my kids do? They ask to play that song. And then as opposed to just saying, hey, no, we're not going to play it anymore, which is what I wanted to say. Mm. She used it as a teachable moment and said, hey, do you know how at the very end, this is the words they say? And they're like, yeah, we do, Mom. Well, they're like, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. And she went into this whole almost sermon about, how this is the reason we're not going to listen to that song anymore, and this is why. And I think to your point, rather than trying to shield and shelter them from everything in the world, use them as teachable moments, because that's what's going to happen when they get out of your house.
I'm telling you, I had a recent with my son Jonathan. My son Jonathan's off at college. He's in an ROTC program. He's going to become an officer in the Army. probably about 2 years ago, he was already on that trajectory. He felt this is what God's calling was. He wanted to be an officer in the Army and serve for 20 years. Okay, fantastic. I'm realizing my son has never seen Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan, I'm like, hey, son, you got to watch this movie with me. I told my wife, she's like, you're going to let him watch that movie? I'm like, hey, it's time to watch that movie. So she took the girls out of the house, and she's like, so you're going to watch it on VidAngel? I'm like, no, he's going into the Army. We don't need to cut out the blood and guts and the cursing. The boy needs to sit down and see Do you understand? This is the world you're going into. And this is how they talk. And it led to a great conversation to say, son, there is a difference between who you are and who they are. And that's okay that they are going to talk this way. And be prepared for it. And these are these words, and these are these words, and this is how they talk. And we walk through that whole thing and watch that whole movie. And here's the problem. There are a lot of Christians that just categorically across the board, we'd never have that kind of thing. Our children would never. And what happens to those kids at 18? What happens to those kids at 19? What happens to those kids at 20? Look, you do it any way you want. I'm telling you, what has really worked for generations in our home is to shield, but not just shield, but bring them alongside, point out the world and say, here's what's good about the world. Here's what's bad about the world. Here's what we do. Here's what we don't do. Here's how they acted like a follower of Jesus. Here's how they did not act like a follower of Jesus. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by those who attempt to appear more holy than you are. This happened years ago. I remember as a child, my father, I may have told this story on this podcast before, but here we go. Years ago, my father was approached by one of the members of our church. Every single year, my father would get a season pass to Wet n Wild for me and my brother and my little sisters, and we would go to Wet n Wild. My mother hated it, but we would go with my dad, and my mom would come sometimes. And we loved it. It was so great. Wet n Wild, went out there. And one summer, I was probably about, 9 years old or something. One of the members of the church came very concerned, and they sat down with my father and said, Pastor, we're very concerned because we hear that you take your boys to Wet n Wild. Pastor, there are immoral, inappropriately dressed, naked people at Wet n Wild. What are you doing taking your children to your impressionable children to Wet n Wild? And you preach about modesty, but you take... And so now my dad's faced with this moral dilemma. Do I stop taking my kids to Wet n Wild because of what these people think? It wasn't offending my conscience. The Holy Spirit wasn't convicting me, but I've got to make sure I uphold my quote-unquote testimony. Pfft. And all of a sudden, he had this moral quandary. Thank God my father sought advice from an older, mature, mentor pastor named Sumner Wimp. Sumner Wimp said to my father, don't you dare stop taking them to Wet n Wild. He said, why? He said, let me tell you a story. Going all the way back to the 1960s, he said that I was approached by one of our deacons, and our deacon said to us, Pastor, we're very concerned that you take your children to go to the bowling alley. In the bowling alley, there's gambling, and there is cigarette smoke, and there is bad games, and there is alcohol. You need to stop. And he said to my father this. He said, David, stopping going to the bowling alley was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made as a father. He said, to this day, David, my children hold it against me as adults because we didn't have a place to have fun. So my father came back to us and said, hey, I know I talked to you about not going to Wet n Wild. Guess what? We're going back to Wet n Wild. We kept going to Wet n Wild. We had fun. And we said, who cares what these other people, our testimony. Look, care more about your children than you do your ministry or the fact that that deacon might go to some other conservative church in town. Mm. And what you ought to do is realize that you've got children who are going to bury you one day. You want to make sure that they grew up in a fun home and they associate fun with Jesus follower.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to get across today. That's what I want to be able to say. So in your family trips, in your special occasions, in your daily life, and in your family day, man, do what you can to make these children have a good experience and connect that good experience with Jesus.
Yeah. So some practical ideas for family day, maybe thinking outside the box. Search in your area where you're at, maybe a brand new restaurant that opened up.
Yeah.
Brand new board game that's out, or the one that you haven't done yet.
Yeah, get that video game out. You say, I don't like video games. That's okay. They do. It's not about you. And yep. Sit down and learn how to play Minecraft with your kid.
Yeah, I remember to this day when I was growing up, I was big into that's when Fast and Furious first came out, right? Mm. And I was into that kind of car scene. And my dad went to a car show knowing, he hates these kind of cars. Yeah. Like, he's a big muscle car guy.
Yeah.
Right? But he still loved me enough to try to take me to those kind of events so I could be, he could be interested in it, right? You would hate this, I know, but maybe build a puzzle, right?
Oh, my word. No, don't go that far.
Don't go that far in family day.
Please don't go that far. So my son loved Legos growing up. I hate putting those kind of things together. Drive me nuts. That's the kind of thing Jason Combs would be good at, not me. But man, we would sit there for hours and put Legos together. But that time invested in what he thought was fun, he was willing to go see Marvel movies with me.
There you go.
Now what do we have? Honestly, by God's grace, still a good relationship where we actually like to have fun together. And I hope that happens for years to come and that we can repeat what our family had in this generation. So all of that to say, the practical idea, have fun with your kiddos.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.